It is Tuesday morning, and we check in with the city council, and our good friend is the parliamentarian Tim Mayer. Tim, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good, thank you.
Well, you sound well rested after last Wednesday night's meeting. Did you get some get your feet up on the weekend?
I did, and I left them there.
Fair enough.
You went to about 1 a.m. Last Wednesday, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
Wow. Yeah.
We did.
And two big...
It was a long meeting, and it was... it just took a long time to get through all the points that we had to make, so... But, yeah.
And
the net result is the city has divided Area 1 into three sections, and Area 6 has been deleted from consideration by a vote of the council.
Tim, what were the reasons for deleting Area 6?
Well, that's a really good question. When we had our meeting way back in February, a couple of council members suggested that Area 6 is already organized at that point in time, and council members suggested that if they could prove that they could beat the remonstrance or meet that number, that it would shorten their term in consideration, I guess would be the way to put it. So when their turn came up for consideration, they presented the fact that they had received more than, you know, like 95% of the neighbors had signed a petition, so council members voted to remove it from consideration.
And that being done, does that set a precedent for moving forward?
Yes, I think it probably does, yeah.
So if people get organized and get their areas to that, that's going to be interesting to see how that moves forward. Is that a possibility moving forward, Tim? Do we have enough time to do that? How does that work? You said that some of your council members said, well, it looks like they're already organized or whatever. How does that get determined?
Well, it's interesting because they did do a petition in their neighborhood. It was basically ad hoc. Neighbors came together and said, well, you know, let's put together a document and get people to sign it, and the council accepted it at face value. So, and that's not to say that anything is inappropriate. It's not official. It's not an official remonstration. So, it's a little confusing to me. But people had to accept it at face value. So,
Tim, is it a done deal for all the others, or could they now come up with 95% signatories on a petition?
Well, I think that's the open-ended question for me. Now, of course, the next meeting we have is the 31st of May, which is the big public comment meeting, and then we have 30 days to go through that process. I believe it's June 30th will be the final decision-making meeting. So, and then once that were to happen, once the decisions were made on June 30th, then the public has that remonstration period of time to remonstrate and oppose the annexation at that point. But again, you know, you get to that meeting on June 30th, I suspect it would be possible for people to step up and say, we have a petition here that has, you know, 83% of the people living in the area that can vote have signed the petition. So it could affect council members' thinking. So I don't know. It's all to be determined at this point in my mind.
And what else was determined at your meeting was the vote to continue down the timeline was 5-4. Am I getting my facts right here?
You're correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
And
yes.
In the timeline that was voted on, you were part of the 5 group. Let me know why you voted to continue down the same path.
Well, I was not comfortable with the fact that we were going to basically I'm just trying to think. Go back to that meeting. It's been a while. I was under the understanding that we would basically have parallel paths, and that failed. So, but that was my thinking at the time, because the three island areas had always been considered to be on let us say the adopted time schedule, which is May 31st, June 30th. And I did not see the value in having a basically parallel paths. I wanted to either do it all at once or do it on the original time frame that we had put in place. So that's why I did not support the amendment to extend the time for certain areas, which basically were the ring areas around the city.
Tim, another matter that came up just as you were getting ready to go into that meeting was the breaking down of one of the districts into three districts, A, B, and C, I think is the way you labeled it.
That is correct.
What was the reasoning on that one?
The reasoning there was part of the annexation process is they have to verify the boundaries of the areas that are intended to be annexed in the legislation, and that requires a survey of the area. So surveyors went out and did that work, and that's all part of the process. And through that investigation, they determined that Leonard Springs Road had been annexed by the city of Bloomington a number of years ago, but the city had annexed only the roadway and not any property on the either side of the road, which then led to a contiguity problem. So you can't annex an area without it being contiguous to the city, the way I understand it by that definition. And so they had to break that up into three areas so that they could get that contiguity with the existing city boundaries. So that's the way I understood them.
Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. The City Council parliamentarian checks in with us every Tuesday morning. And obviously, the annexation stuff is top of mind. It's everybody's hot topic right now. Yes. What is the council's... You're done with this till the 31st of May, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, I just want people to be sure, because there's not any secret meetings, or there's not any this, that, or the other thing that's going on with it. So that's where you're at.
Well, and tomorrow night's a regular meeting, and annexation isn't even part of it.
Right, so tell us what's going on tomorrow night.
That is correct. Well, so tomorrow night is a regular city council meeting. We meet at 6:30 in the council chambers. We do not have any legislation or resolutions for second reading. But we do have legislation for first reading, and that is legislation that we put into the record and so that we will be able to consider it in the following week, next week's committee meeting to discuss. So we have two issues before us. One will be to add to our smoking in public places the definition of electronic smoking devices. So we will be adding e-cigarettes to our smoking ban in public places. And then we are going to do some work that is being brought forward by the city legal department. That's to clean up some of our legislation in the Bloomington Municipal Code under peace and safety. And we will be deleting sections 14.6.130 through 150, which includes... Hang on to your hats.
Hold on. Listen to what this does. I'm sitting down. Go ahead.
Well, we're going to delete the area that you cannot have stench bombs in the city of Indiana.
Stench bombs?
Yeah.
Can I still park my donkey on Kirkwood after 5 o'clock?
City legal staff was charged with going through the legislation, our municipal code, and specifically they were looking for fencing requirements around swimming pools and open water bodies
right.
In the city. And they came across this stench bomb thing, which is pretty funny.
I've never even heard the term stench bomb. In my day, they called it a stink bomb.
Well, there you go.
Is that its proper cousin or the formal uncle?
I guess.
Does the city council, what are you defining as a stench bomb?
To Keith, you're missing the point. It's off the books. Gone.
They're taking it off.
Right? It's gone. No, let's not worry about it.
I just want to know what I can't do anymore.
It's gone.
Okay.
No more stink bombs. You can stink bomb all you want. City's not going to regulate your stink bombs. Finally. Jeez.
You got it.
The oppressive society we live in.
So I can't vape in public and I can't stench in public.
That is correct.
You can.
There you go.
There you go. Hey, one of the other things.
More importantly, what they're cleaning up the code about specifically what they were going after was being in line with state code in regards to fencing for swimming pools and other water-filled bodies of water bodies. Let's put it that way. So that's first reading, which means that what will happen in the meeting is the parliamentarian will call for the council president to ask the clerk to read into the record those two pieces of legislation. They will not be discussed, and we will pick them up next week. Now, coming back to the meeting, at the beginning of the meeting, we always have room for public comment. We set aside 20 minutes for items not on our agenda and 5 minutes for each speaker. And then we also have public comment at the back end of our meeting where we set aside 25 minutes for people to come to the council and talk about legislation or issues and concerns that are not on our agenda. So, you know, we're open to public comment at all time and welcome it. So.
We're talking with Tim Mayer, a member of the Bloomington City Council. And Tim, it's kind of been in and out of the news, and there's a story in today's HT about night moves, and that's all part of this gateway to the old rail area that the city is going to reclaim. What exactly is this story on the night moves? How important is that you're able to move on now?
Well, I think you know what the goal and the objective has been is to create an area surrounding the park, the future park to be. And so, what the city wanted to do in taking over that building is to create a developable site. So the city doesn't necessarily want to develop it, but they want to have control of it so that. Somebody in the future, and hopefully in the near future, can come forward and take that site and develop it into whatever the zone would allow it to be, which I would assume to be a business arterial and a mixed-use type of situation. So that's the goal. And, you know, they already have possession of the Wee Willie site, so that will become one of the entrances to the park. You know, you'll be able to enter the park on the east side from that area, in that general area around Wee Willies and Night Moves and all that. So
one of the things that came into play was the soil testing and some things like that before they move forward, and that's all been completed now.
Yes, yeah, and that's just doing due diligence because, you know, it's near a rail yard and all kinds of materials go through rail yards. So, you know, they're just being very cautious about what they're getting their hands involved in. So, yeah. But that's I think that's all just part of the process of purchasing a piece of property.
Due diligence.
Due diligence.
Well, 2020 is going to be a busy time around here, huh?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah.
State's going to turn 200. City's going to have. Perhaps more residents. Park's going to be open. Holy cow.
Yeah.
You better get
a lot of work.
You better get your napping now.
Well, you know, they're 2020. Moving forward on a sewer interceptor that'll go down through the park. I mean, of course, it'll be underground, but that's major because it will help in the movement of wastewater to the Dillman Road treatment plant.
It all goes downhill, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much, actually, it does. Yeah,
that's exactly. The good news. There's some joke in there about that as well.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Stench bomb.
Well, that's what you're trying to avoid, and that's the good news there. Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. City Councilman weighs in. I want to go back to the vote real quick. I know it's done with and dusted. Can that come up again, the timeline, if council reorganizes and says, hey, look, we've got – maybe someone to flip sides on that? I know people are asking me that. That's why.
You know, I don't know the answer to that question, but speculating, I think it would be a possibility.
Will you just you reframe it, call it something else, so to speak, and just.
Well, I know we've set the clock running. We will set the clock running on May 31, but. you know, I suspect there would be an opportunity there as long as we are within the state statutes that allow for annexation. Then, as long as we meet those timetables, then I think we probably could. That's really a question for legal staff.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to throw that out there. And the other thing I was going to ask you is, we know that the state is obviously, it's their legislative session right now. Is there anything on the legislative session that could affect this process by the time they're done with it?
Well, I think that's been one of the concerns of the administration all along, is that, you know, that the state legislature will rewrite the rules yet again. So, I mean, they've always been working on making it more difficult for municipalities to annex. So, you know, it's always afoot, let's say. So that's one of the guiding reasons to move on, I believe. So,
but generally, they don't make those kinds of things retroactive.
That's true. But they do have the ability to do that.
Put it into effect as soon as the governor signs it.
Well, interesting. Yeah. Tim, great job. Well, we got it all covered on a Tuesday morning?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, well, sounds good. And then, again, tomorrow night, 6:30.
That's correct. Council and chambers. It should be a relatively short meeting.
Compared to last week's, it will be downright quick.
Exactly.
We appreciate your candor. We appreciate your insight, and we appreciate your knowledge as always, and we'll do it again next week.
Great. Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Take care, Tim.
Thank you.
Tim Mayer, City Council Parliamentarian, give you an inside scoop, hopefully answer your questions about how this is going to move forward, how it can move forward. Very interesting part there about the precedent set from Area 6. Now, Area 6 is one of the larger pieces of this puzzle, but it is given a roadmap. It is shown a way that gets the council's attention. But if you have Section 1, which is now into three pieces, and you've got 8,000 here, 1,500 there, whatever it is, well, the 1,500 got a better chance than the 8,000.
Well, in my mind, sure. Let's look at Area 6.
I signed for my mail yesterday. Yeah. I got the packet.
Okay, but let's say Area 6 had primarily residential. Now, how do you compare that to something like where Cook and Baxter and all those are? Those are just like companies. There's not a lot of people in terms of remonstrance. Now, part of this deal is you do the remonstrance because the city loses a lawsuit. They have to pay for it.
Right. So they probably...
But then, too, you have to look in Cook and Baxter. Well, they got some money, too. So
just a couple dollars.
If they decide to fight this...
Well, there's always that side. But the other part of it is you can use Area 6's roadmap.
Right.
But do you need to get Area 6's percentage? Do you need that? See, now we're going to get into this gray area.
Yeah.
Well, they got 98%. Do I need 96%? Oh, that's not enough because you didn't hit the press. I don't even want to know.
Well, the other thing is their chart showed what the income to the city was going to be from property taxes, what they're going to have to spend for that, all of those things. That rearranges that whole kind of budget for this.
It does, but that should always be fluid anyhow, shouldn't it?
Should be.
And we'll see how it works out. Tomorrow, we will talk with Marty Hawk, County Councilwoman. We'll get her thoughts on her luncheon coming up, as we talked about last hour. I don't know if there's any spots left. She'll let me know. We'll let her know. She'll tell us tomorrow. The registration deadline is Friday, and that's going to be her, Jeff McKim, Pat Stofers, and the Ellettsville Fire Chief, Mike Common.
Right.
That's coming up on the 14th of April. It's a luncheon about how it's going to affect the community, the annexation. So we'll have Marty help us out tomorrow, plus everything else that's going on with county government, because the county's affected by this just as much as the city is. And the school corporation,
right.
Well, they're gonna have either money repurposed or shuffled and moved around, but I'm guessing you're not getting any more out of this deal. So we'll keep an eye on all that. All right, 828 at WGCL.